Well, I enjoyed that missionary presentation. A lot of truth in that national doesn't have to learn the culture, doesn't have to learn the language, accustomed to the cost of living there. So a lot of truth in what the young man presented. Well, I appreciate that song. Glory to God. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord includes us in His work? Glory to God. Amen. Well, a couple of verses I want to remind you of. Find the book of Judges again this evening, Judges chapter 14. We've mentioned since Sunday evening, when you think about missions, a couple of verses you ought to put to memory. One is Luke chapter 2, when Jesus, there in verse 49, is in the temple, questioned by Mary, and he responds to her, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business," which tells us that every one of us then is to be about the Father's business. Amen. And then Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, when he saw the light, he cries out, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" When you think about the missions conference, the purpose of the meeting is for us to understand that every one of us has a part, and the purpose is for us to find out what our part would be for the missionary endeavor of the church for the next year. Amen. Now, the work is both corporate and individual, meaning that the Lord gave the commission to the church. He works through a body, and under the law, he worked through Israel. In this age of grace, he does through the church. You notice the young man emphasized they're going to help start churches. That's God's plan. That's that God works through the church. Amen. But the church can only accomplish as the individual members respond or would rise to the challenge. Amen. So every one of us has a place. Isn't that wonderful that every one of us, Jesus does not have to bear the cross alone. Every one of us has a part. We need to find this week what our part would be. Amen. Now, we have a threefold responsibility that I'll remind you of. There when Matthew 9, I didn't give you the reference the other night, but Matthew 9, when Jesus looks out over the fields and talks about the fields and how the laborers are few, he says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers." Our responsibility is we're to pray. We're to pray about missions. You should have already been praying before this week got here. And then you should have been praying this week, "Lord, what is my part? What am I to do?" Amen. Usually folks don't pray about missions because they're afraid of what God will tell them, what God will show them. Amen. I mean, that's the sad reality. We're afraid it's going to cost us too much, or we're afraid God might call us into the missions. I knew a preacher. I'm rambling here. I'll get busy in a minute, but God dealt with him about preaching from the time he was a young teenage boy to where he was already married and I think had a child or two. But he kept running from God, and the whole reason he was kept running from God was he was afraid God was going to call him to the mission field. Amen. Now that's pretty sad. When he did surrender to missions, he was involved in missions, but he pastored all the while until the Lord took him home. So you don't have to be afraid of what God's going to ask you to do. Whatever God calls upon you to do, he'll enable you to do it. Amen. if it depended upon you and I, we might as well throw in the towel now. You see, the young man said 7.6 billion people upon planet Earth. I heard one fellow say 7.7. I know it's more than what you and I can count. If we all took our shoes off and counted all our toes, we couldn't count as a number of people on planet Earth. Then the phenomenal thought of 200,000 people being added to this planet every day. I can tell you this, we don't have to worry about overpopulation. We have to worry about not reaching the population. Amen? God will make this planet sustain as many people as He chooses. Amen? But our part, our responsibility is to try to get them the good news that Jesus saves sinful men. So we're to pray. You ought to know who your missionaries are. These cards are a wonderful idea that the pastor's distributing. You put a name with a face and know more how to pray. How many children are in the home still and what the wife's name is and all these things. So that's, you ought to pray, okay? Then secondly, we're to go ourselves. The only reason you can't go to South America or Central America, the only scriptural reason is God's not called you to go. Amen? Boy, these parts are hard to get over. Help me a little bit. At least smile, okay? Amen? But now, if we're going to send somebody to Chile or Africa or China's closing. There's people having to leave China. You need to pray that that'll turn about. Amen. But we're going to send them to start churches and build the work of God. Then we ought to be doing that here. We're still a goal. We might not ever go to Chile or the Philippines, but we can sure go to Goshen and the township and all these areas round about. Amen. Amen. Well, we're to pray, we're to go, and then our third responsibility is we're to give so that others may go. The purpose of the conference to help us realize, boy, we can't do this. It's far beyond our ability. It's far beyond our financial capability. We're going to have to pray and get a hold of a higher source. But then also, it'll help us realize, hey, we're to be more involved as a group and then as an individual. And then also, it'll help us to know what our part would be to give to missions. I'm still rambling, but I'll get to the text in a minute. When you think about giving, you're not giving till after you've tithed. Amen. You really can't give to missions until you've paid your tithes. Amen. Somebody's always saying, well, preacher, I give my tithes. No, you've paid them. You owed them. Amen. When you used to pay bills in person, I remember when you went to an office and paid your light bill, went to another office and paid your phone bill. Tell my age now, aren't I? Everybody now pays on a phone. Okay? But when you get that electric bill, you owe that. You wouldn't walk up to the window and say, I wanted to give you this week. No, they'd say, if you hadn't brought it, we was going to turn you off. Amen. Your tithes is what you owe. After that, you're giving. Amen. Amen. Well, we talked about Samson last night and how he didn't finish well. But we want to look at him in a little different light here this evening. Judges chapter 14. And read with me from verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother, and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Well, that didn't work when I was growing up. We didn't demand anything from our parents. About the time you demand anything of your father when I was growing up, you learned right quick that you was out of line. Amen. Amen. Well, read on with me. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew that it was not of the, that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased him well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. And he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Father, we do thank you for Cassettedale Baptist Temple, their missionary endeavor, the desire, Lord, to do more for you, the fact that they plan a conference every year. They have missionaries in throughout the year. They keep missions before the people. We thank you for that. We pray you'd help us now in the time that's been given. You've given good liberty every service, but we're pleading again that you'd help us make the preaching time easy. I pray that even what might be a difficult part, that you'd give liberty in that, that it'd be well received. And we'll thank you for what you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Quick statement. You know, when you think about the will of God, and I am running a little ahead, but the will of God is not always the easiest path in life. But the will of God is always the best path in life. Amen. By that I'm saying, whatever God calls upon you to do, you might look at it as, you know, that's beyond me. Really, the whole work of God's beyond us. It's only as he works through us. Amen? It may not look easy, but it'll be best. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm looking here at Samson. There's so much that preaching about Samson. There's a lot of material. Just about every preacher preaches, you know, at least a couple different messages about Samson. I mentioned him last night as part of where we were in the text. But here, what we're looking at, Samson is a, first of all, he's a type of the church. Secondly, he is a type of the Christian. But then also he is a type of the Christian walk, the walk of the believer. Amen? Okay? Few introductory remarks, and then we'll get to the message. When you think about Samson being a type of the Christian, Samson's whole life, it began with a supernatural birth. Amen? Manoah and his wife was barren. They had no children. His wife was barren. Okay? You can read in chapter 13, I'm sure you have read in chapter 13, that the angel of the Lord appears and tells Manoah's wife that she's going to bear a son, and that this boy is going to be a Nazirite from his birth. Okay? So, Samson's whole existence is because of a supernatural birth. God intervened and allowed this woman to bear this son. Amen? Well, how is that a type of the Christian? Hey, your life started with a supernatural birth. Amen? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. We all come out of darkness into the light. But he came to Jesus by night, and he says, "Good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, that's the aspect or the thinking of most all the world. They think they can do something to make themselves right with some kind of higher power. Okay? In reality, there's not one thing man can do to justify himself before God. And the Lord responded to Nicodemus. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Tells him again that he cannot enter into the kingdom. Tells him again, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." See, our whole existence as a Christian began with a supernatural birth. Amen? Well, secondly, he's a type of the Christian in that he was to be a Nazirite from birth. By this I mean he was to be a separated individual from his birth. Separated unto the Lord. He was not a Nazarene. Our Lord was a Nazarene, meaning simply he was raised in Nazareth. Samson was a Nazirite. A Nazirite was a man who would take upon himself a special vow. And you can read it in Numbers chapter 6. There was basically three things that under that vow. One is that no razor was to touch his head. The second was that he was to touch nothing of the vine. And the third was that he was to come upon no dead thing. Okay? Samson was to be separated unto the Lord from his birth. He was to be a Nazirite all of his life. Now, I mentioned last night, I'm bringing it back out tonight. Samson didn't want to be a Nazirite. Samson's whole problem is he was angry with God that he was supposed to be a Nazirite. Samson wanted to live for Samson. Samson wanted to do what he wanted to do, when he wanted to do it, how he wanted to do it. Samson wanted to live for Samson. Can I throw something in? It's amazing how when you think about things, we always have time for what we want to have time for. We always have money for what we want to have money for. Amen? You know, missions, there is much said about money in missions. Only because it takes money to send that man to the field. Okay? But money only makes you uncomfortable at church. Your time, it only makes you uncomfortable at church. Amen? So, I've been accused of preaching long. I don't know where they get all that. Football game's 3 hours. I've never preached 3 hours. See how quiet it gets? Well, we're having a special time already. Hey, 45, 50 minutes is not long compared to 3 hours. Amen. In fact, if you're a football fanatic, I mean, it's all day. It's not just the game. You'll have the tailgate party. You'll have all the chips and the sodas and the salsa and the sandwiches and or your barbecuing. And I mean, you'll start early and you'll go all day. If it's a 7 o'clock game, you still start about 10 that morning. But see, you come to the missions conference, and it's funny how services are so timed. You know, missions conference goes a little longer. Revival meeting goes a little longer. Amen. But see, we shouldn't come to go. We should come to get in. Amen. Samson here is actually, if you don't have to agree with this, but Samson's actually through his life, he's mad at God that he's supposed to be a Nazarite. Now, it doesn't bother him to be a judge over Israel. It just bothers him that he's supposed to be a Nazarite. He's afraid he's going to miss out on things as a Nazarite. Did you know that the day God saved you, He saved you that you would separate unto Him? It wasn't a Nazarite vow, but there's a lot of teaching that you're to separate unto Him. Boy, two things always upset people. You talk about money, and you talk about separation. You can just about see him climb the miff tree. There he goes again. We have a wrong attitude about separation. It is not a negative thing. It is positive. Separation, some folks' idea of separation is like Samson's on the vow. I can't do this, and they won't let me do that, and I can't go there. That's not separation. Some of the cults, like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and some of them, good night, they don't drink coffee. You know, that's not separation, that's torture. I mean, I've got to have that coffee in the morning, but it really doesn't affect me too bad. Amen. You getting my thought? It's not that you don't do this and you don't go there and, all these kind of things. Separation is from the world unto the Lord. Amen. There's lost people that have never tasted alcohol. They've never dressed immodest. They've never been found in questionable places. Hey, they're not separated, they're lost. Amen? So separation's a positive thing, drawing us unto the Lord. The purpose of the Nazarite vow was for the man to draw unto the Lord. Amen? Separate himself. Set himself aside to draw unto the Lord. Amen. I'll throw this out. Samson, he didn't want to be a Nazarite. It made him mad that he's supposed to be a Nazarite. If folks were to be honest, I'm talking about really honest, they really don't like missions conference. It's not the revival, it's not the jubilee, it's not on your mind, you're on the mountaintop. It's where the rubber meets the pavement. Missions is a time of commitment. Amen. Well, something else about Samson and that being a type of the Christian. Samson had no power except when the Spirit moved him. You and I have no power except the Spirit of God move us. Amen. Also, you notice that Samson, all through his adult life, had a problem with a lion. From the day you got saved, you've had a problem with a lion, an adversary. What happens, though, is that Samson started out well, but he didn't end up well. Here's where he's the type of the church. Samson began to flirt with the world. The problem in the church today is she's flirting with the world. Amen. You know why we can't do more for missions? We're flirting too much with the world. Other concerns. Here too, he's the type of the church in that Samson fell asleep at the wrong time. He fell asleep in Delilah's lap. Wrong time to sleep. Amen. All the while the church is flirting with the world, she's fallen asleep. The admonition Paul gave about it's time to wake up, to rise out of sleep, time to get busy. Amen. Well, he's the type of the church too, and despite all of the things where he went astray, Samson went out in a blaze of glory. Did you know someday we're going up out of here in a blaze of glory? Amen. When Jesus steps out on a cloud. Well, here's one I want to preach about. Got three little thoughts. Okay. Samson is also a type of the Christian walk. Paul admonished the church at Ephesus, the believers there. He admonished them to walk circumspectly. Circumspect means to be careful where you put your feet. Amen. I heard an old country preacher describe circumspect. He said it's like you're walking through the cow pasture on a dark night with no moon and no stars, and you're barefoot. You're careful where you put your feet. Humor helps. You can laugh a little bit. Okay? Amen. All right. He is a type of the Christian walk. And I'm going to tie it to missions this evening, okay? The first point is simply this. I want to address the conflicts of the Christian walk. The conflicts of the Christian walk. And you see it in Samson's life. As soon as you get started, you find yourself in a conflict. Just as soon as you make up your mind, you're going to be involved. You're going to find out what your part is. You're going to find the will of God for you in this thing of missions. You're going to find yourself in a conflict. The conflict comes from the old devil. The devil hates the church. The devil hates the Christian who walks circumspectly. The devil especially hates the missionary, the man of God who leads the church in missions. The devil, he'll do anything and everything to try to detour you from doing anything for God. I'll give you a good example. You remember when Balaam was hired by Balak, the king of the Moabites, to curse the children of Israel? That Balaam sent those three princes, and Balaam turned those down, so he sent three more, and then finally Balaam decided to go. It's interesting that his beast is his, I won't say the Bible term, it might offend somebody, but in the context it's right, okay? We'll say a donkey for sake of not offending anybody, okay? That Balaam's donkey or Balaam's mule had more awareness of God than Balaam did, and he was supposed to be some kind of a preacher. Balaam was a hireling. He was for hire. Amen. Well, Balak hired him to curse the children of Israel. And they went through the motions of building the altars and laying out the sacrifices. And after all that was done, then Balaam pronounced a blessing upon the children of Israel. And Balak come running to him and says, No, I hired you to curse the children of Israel. Balak didn't quit. He took Balaam another direction and flanked Israel from another direction. And again, they built the altars and offered the sacrifices. And again, Balaam pronounced a blessing. Balak's really beside himself, and he takes them again and flanks them another direction. And this time, Balaam didn't even go through the motions. He just pronounced a blessing upon the children of Israel. My point is that the old devil's just like Balak. He's going to keep flanking you. He's relentless. He wants to detour you from the will of God. He does not want you involved in the work of God. He causes a conflict. He plants problems in the church, in your life. Just about the time you're going to sell out, you're on the altar. Oh God, help me know your plan for my life. Help me to sell out to you. The old devil's already got something planted your way to get your mind off of what you just committed. Amen. He plants problems. He does it in the church. Usually when you got a big meeting planned, just anything and everything can come up. Usually the pastor says, you know, when you get to the place, you know, he'll tell you what all's been going on. It's just the old devil planting problems to get people misdirected, to get them detoured from what God wants them to do. Amen. Now, the conflict comes from the old devil. He uses the weakness of our flesh and the allurements of the world to do whatever he can to get us out of God's will. Amen. I'll give you another Bible application. You remember when Israel was in bondage some 430 years down in Egypt? Amalek was a bordering country. Amalek did not care anything about Israel all the while they were in bondage. All the while they were bond slaves to Pharaoh, Amalek didn't give any concern to Israel. But just as soon as God brought them out with a mighty hand through those 10 plagues, you can read in Exodus chapter 17 that Amalek set a snare. Amalek was there waiting for them. Amen. Amalek is a type of the old flesh. The old flesh had its way for however many years you were lost in sin. But just as soon as the king sat upon the throne of your life, Amalek, as soon as he was dethroned, he laid a snare for you. He's fighting you. He's conflicting with the will of God. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. Just as soon as you begin to think, Lord, I think I can increase my missions. Lord, help me to know the right figure. The old flesh is going to tell you, well, you remember you wanted that new iPhone. You get my thought? Just as soon as you sell out, there's conflict. Here, with what I'm getting at with Samson, is that there in verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards to Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Soon as Samson began to walk, the lion was there waiting for him. Just as soon as you begin to walk with God, made up your mind you're going with God, the old devil's waiting right there for you. Amen. The conflicts. Well, the conflicts come from the devil. But then also under this, the conflict is just a confirmation in your life. It's number one, it's a conflict of your salvation. You know, the devil wouldn't fight this church if it wasn't reaching lost people. The devil wouldn't fight you if you weren't saved. But also, the devil wouldn't fight you if you're going with the stream. Any old dead fish can float downstream. But just as soon as you buck the current, you're in a conflict. It's a confirmation of salvation. Amen. Now, my reassurance comes from the Word of God, the Holy Ghost of God. But just the fact that we're making the devil mad ought to confirm in our lives we must be doing something right for God. Amen. It's confirmation of our salvation. It's confirmation of our submission to the will of God. When you think about missions, missions only comes out of a submitted individual. As long as you're bucking God, you won't do anything for missions. As long as missions angers you, upsets you, grinds you a wrong way, the devil won't bother you. The flesh won't bother you. It's just as soon as you decide, I'm going with God. I'm doing what God wants. That's when the conflict comes. And when the conflict comes, he ought to do 59 laps around the church saying, thank you, God, I must be doing something right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, when you think about it, the solution to the conflicts is found twofold. It's found in the Word of God, and it's found in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit moved Samson. and he rent him as a kid. Amen. When the lion roared, the spirit moved, and Samson rent him like a kid. Now, can I say something else before I leave that thought? I don't believe Samson's strength was in his physical size. I appreciate meeting this preacher here. He's a big man. I'm glad he's saved. Glory to God. I'd hate to meet him if he was lost. He's a little fella. What, 6'8"? 6'7"? I mean, that's pretty tall. Amen. Amen. A little humor helps. I hope I didn't embarrass him. But all I'm trying to bring out is that, hey, you and I, we need to sell out. We need to go with God. We need to, whatever God wants, that's what we want. Amen. Amen. And no matter what comes, what trials are there, amen, God can handle it. What I was getting to about his size was, I don't believe Samson was that big. I believe Samson was of a normal sized man. And folks were in awe because here's this normal sized man doing these unusual feats. He did them when the Spirit of God moved upon him. Same thing when you think about missions. You'll do unusual things because the Spirit of God moved. Amen. But it'll only move as you yield. And you have to yield to what God tells you through his word. Well, Samson's a type of the Christian walk because of the conflicts that he had. But then, secondly, not only the conflicts in the Christian walk, I want you to notice the confections of the Christian walk. Just as soon as he rent the lion, look again in our text, okay, in verse 8. And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, I failed to mention, and I should mention this, okay. You and I understand that every text has a primary historical application, primary doctrinal application, then we're talking about practical applications here with Samson. Samson here is totally out of place because he was a Nazarite. He was to touch nothing of the vine. Why is he in the vineyard? He's out of place. Okay? He was to come upon no dead thing. Why did he return to the vineyard? To the dead carcass of the lion. So he's totally out of place. Okay, that would be the main, what we're looking at. But I'm using a practical application here. That what we're finding inside the carcass of the lion is the honey. There's honey in the carcass of the lion. Twofold application on this. Number one is that It talks about the sweetness of knowing the Lord. The confections of the Christian life. You ladies can respond to this, maybe some of you men. But that word confections has to do with sweetness. You hear the term confectionery sugar, powdered sugar. Amen. Amen. So it's talking about the sweetness of the Christian walk. There's just something special about knowing the Lord. Amen. The psalmist, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 68, where he talks about he daily loadeth us with benefits. Amen. I think of Psalm, where it talks about how sweet, and that, but that's all I can remember right now. Sometimers, you know, it's not Alzheimer's yet. If it ever gets Alzheimer's, set me down, please. Amen. What are you talking about? Hey, it's just sweet knowing the Lord. I stress that because So many people talk about, you poor Christians. You're missing out on so much. That's what Samson thought. That was part of his problem. He didn't want to be a Nazarite. He's afraid he's going to miss out on too much. Amen? And the world thinks, boy, we're just a miserable lot. I got news for him. Hey, it's the best life you could ever live. Amen? There's a joy in knowing the Lord. Hey, what God promised you and I was an abundant life, a meaningful life, a blessed life. Amen? Hey, it is wonderful knowing the Lord. Amen? Hey, if he didn't do anything more than he saved my never-dying soul, he is wonderful. It is sweet knowing the Lord. Amen? Okay? But then not only just knowing the Lord, it's talking about the sweetness of being in the will of the Lord. Well, if you sell out to God and you give all that to God, you're going to struggle. You're going to have a rough year. Hey, I got news for you. It's wonderful. You can tell those that are doing something for missions. How's that? Because they'll get excited about the conference. They'll get excited when the missionaries come into the church. They'll get excited when the pastor reads or has somebody to read a mission letter. And it talks in the mission letter how, boy, they got the roof on their building and they had 10 saved this last week. And hey, folks say, boy, isn't that sweet? That's good. Hallelujah, God's doing something. Amen. Hey, this thing is not a drudgery. It's not, you know, most Christians, I think their life verse could be, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Hey, you and I, we're not enduring anything. It's the goodness of God in our life. Amen. Now, do we always live on the mountaintop? No, we wouldn't survive long just on the mountaintop. The fruit grows in the valley. God enriches our lives in the valley experiences. But every valley you go through, there's another mountaintop. To make it all the more special, the valley experience. Amen? Well, missions. There's a sweetness in being involved in missions. You're the one missing out. But if you can't see your way into this thing, you're the one that's missing out. Amen? God blesses those that'll get involved in the work of God. Amen? Well, we're talking about Samson being a type of the Christian walk. The conflicts of the Christian walk, the confections of the Christian walk. But then thirdly, this last point is simply this. We see here the commission of the Christian walk. Look again in our text there at verse 9. There's the honey inside the carcass of the lion in verse 8. In verse 9, and he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and mother and he gave them and they did eat. What are you getting at? Well, that honey was so good he had to share it. He gave it to his mother and his father. Amen. Hey, if what you've got so good, then you ought to think about those that don't have it and how wonderful it would be for them to taste of what you have. And you're getting as much in your hands, getting your hands as muddied with it to give it out to somebody else. Friends, you haven't lived till you've had this. Boy, this will change your life. This is just what you need. Amen. Now, I doubt I ever get to Chile. I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. But I'm glad there's somebody going to Chile. Amen. You know what we can do? We can help give out that honey in Chile through proxy. We can help support a man that's going to take that honey down there. Why? There's a lot of people down there that don't know the sweetness of God. They're still in their sin without God. I like to hear them stories where they go in them rural areas. Most missionaries want to go to the big populated cities, which is good. You can reach a lot of folk. But those rural areas, they need it too. It's like here in the States. We go out to the Midwest. There's some rural areas. Did you know not every place is like Cincinnati? Thank God. Hallelujah. We actually get some places where we don't meet a car. You'll get that one in a minute. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, hey, those rural areas need to be reached too. They're just as lost as those in the city. They need to hear the gospel as well. But wouldn't it be wonderful to get a letter back from where somebody's been in Chile giving out honey and telling you how many partook, how many took the honey, and was glad to get it. Amen. Hey, missions, you're the one who'll miss out unless you step up. Isaiah, here am I, Lord. What's my part? What do you want me to do? Amen. Amen. I started off talking about praying. That's what these altars are for. They're not for show. If all you're coming to an altar is for show, then God's not going to help you anyway. But these altars, they're there for a purpose. So you can say, well, I can pray about when I get home. That old devil's going to be like a bird in the air. He's going to snatch that seed before it has time to take root. Before you get home, you'll forget about how you needed to pray. That's why you ought to come now. Say, God, what's my part? What do you want me to do? Preacher, you come. Father,